Oh, let's give him high praise. Come on, if he's been good to you, you need to give him, you need to give him high praise. Hey! We magnify you, Lord. We bless your name. We praise you. Glory, 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 glory to God. Wonderful presence of God in the house today. And we're so delighted to have all of our guests here. You make yourself right at home and respond and interact with the presence of God. God has good things for you. And we appreciate what God is doing. A couple of things before we move into the preaching with our guest, raging, outrageous evangelist, J.P. Poindexter. We're so glad that he's here in the house today. But a couple of things. Friday before, Brother Dawson and Sister Melody got a phone call from New Beginnings in Tupelo, and there was a little girl that was, I don't even know the language for it, but going to be available for adoption. And by 3 o'clock Friday evening, they were holding her. She was 8 days old, and there she is. There she is, and there she is. And this is maybe our newest member. Her name is Shiloh. And because Eli wanted somebody with his middle name, she's Shiloh Brooks. And so congrats to Brother and Sister Corey, another grandbaby, and congrats to Melody and Dawson for a new little baby girl. So they've been over there for a week and days, and it takes about 2 weeks to get all of the legal stuff and get certified to transport new babies across state lines and things like that, you know. I don't know what they do at the state line if you have a baby that... I don't know how that works. Yesterday, I'm coming at you from all kinds of directions today. Yesterday, we had a wedding in my office. And it was Eddie and Megan. And it was really a very, very small and private gathering. And we went through the vows, and they are just as married as if they had 500 guests and all sorts of other things. But you want to be in prayer for them. And because it was not really publicized and announced ahead of time, then we find ourselves in a position where we still want to put them a wedding table up, and that won't happen today, probably. And so next week, you want to be thinking in terms of bringing some loot for Eddie and Megan, and whatever you feel on your heart to do for them, let's celebrate them. It's a wonderful thing for a new couple to start on their journey, and we'll have a wedding table for them next week. Now, last thing, Sister Beth Bouse, that we love and appreciate and who's been a great blessing to this church, has produced an addiction recovery program. It is called Be Free. You may have seen some postings about it on social media or whatever. But I'm getting tremendous reports. Just for an example, Brother Kenny Godare in North Carolina is using it. And there are judges and places of incarceration that are already on board with them and are working with them, because the state institutions are very eager to have a place for people that are kind of in need to go, and prison really doesn't answer their needs. And so it's a good step, and they're having good response. Not only are people recovering, but there are many, many connections being made with court systems and law enforcement groups and all that. So we want you to be in prayer about that. We want to start a Be Free addiction recovery program here. And tonight, after service, we're going to have a meeting. If you feel in any way like you might want to be involved in that, we're going to have a brief meeting and compile a roster of potential team members for that ministry team. And then we're going to begin to get materials and implement and those kinds of things. But we work on a passion-based ministry basis here, and so I just want to make an appeal today and again tonight about if you would like to be involved in a ministry helping people break free of the chains of addiction, whatever it is that they're struggling with, it's good for the church. It's another net is what it is. It's good for the church to have something. I know the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus and the power of the blood can set you free. Quite often, I would say almost invariably, there is some sort of process at work in that gaining of liberty. And so you have to use the things of God. So at any rate, we'll be dealing with people that don't have the Holy Ghost and are not baptized. But one gentleman, Brother Goodair, was telling me about the court ordered him to attend church and go to that recovery program. And so if we can get the courts here in Birmingham to start commanding people to come to church, that's a game changer. So anyway, if you're interested, after church tonight, we'll have a brief meeting over in the small kitchen area, and we'll take names and compile a list. Brother Poindexter, we're glad you're here. And I'm glad to be here while you're here. The last time you were here, I was gone. But we love and appreciate you and your ministry. And I'm excited about the presence of God in this house today. And there has been a setup. The praise group has done such a wonderful job. And those that worshiped and those that sang and these that have been praying. And the table is set and the presence of God is here. And every promise in the book is available here today, right now. Turn to your neighbor and say, everything is possible right now. Do you really believe that? Let's give God a little praise and magnify Him. Ah, we praise you, Jesus. Hey, we magnify you, oh God. Hallelujah. Brother Poindexter, come, preach the word of God. Somebody point at him and say, you preach to me, preacher.
Hallelujah. I wonder if we can lift up our hands unto the Lord. Anybody thankful for what God has done for them? Come on, He's put food on the table time and time again. Hallelujah. I feel some victory in the house. I feel some joy in the house. I feel some liberty in the house. Come on, it's a great day to be a child of the Most High God. Oh, hallelujah. Anybody know Him to be a way maker tonight, today? Anybody know Him to be a chain breaker today? Anybody know Him to be faithful? Come on, I wonder if you can shout unto the Lord with a voice. With a voice. With a voice. This is my sacrifice. A sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. The book of Luke, chapter 24. Amen. I've got so many things running through my mind right now. I want to say what a privilege it is to be here in Birmingham. Amen. I was here about 4 years ago and about 30 pounds lighter ago. Praise God. Pray for me. Hallelujah. Amen. Pray for me. Praise God. Got a one-year-old son, and I got another one on the way, and God has been so good to me, beautiful wife, and thankful for the Lord. Amen. I'm so thankful. Amen. I want to say, I want to congratulate this church and the hard work you've done. And I just want to let you know that it is very evident just coming here this morning that, amen, that you love God, that you love the work of God. And, amen, this is just an active, operating church. And I just want to let you know, keep doing what you're doing. Amen. Keep doing what you're doing. You can feel the presence of God so powerful here. Amen. I want to give honor to Pastor and Sister Sutton. Amen. I do know why I came. Amen. Not only to preach, but amen. As Pastor Sutton picked me up from the airport last night and just began to minister to my spirit, and it wasn't particularly anything that was said. It was just his spirit. I felt it just refreshing my spirit as he, you know, talked about the work of God and soul winning and evangelism and just, man, being a Christian, amen, in our modern day state of affairs, warfare, and all types of things going on, but the church is on the uprise. It's a good day to be a part of the church. It's a good day to be Holy Ghost filled, to be baptized in Jesus' name, to be connected to the Lord, to have an active relationship with Jesus. It's a good day. It's the perfect day. Today is the day of salvation. And I want to thank them for allowing me to come. It is my pleasure to be here. And amen. And it's good to have my friend Devontae. Where's he at? Is he here? There he is. Amen. We got to talking last night and just really enjoyed his spirit and his family here this morning. And good to see some from the Shoemake tribe. Praise God. Well, now Sutton tribe, other one Shoemake tribe. Praise God. Amen. I want to congratulate them on their wedding. Praise God. My wife couldn't be here. She wanted to come. Amen. But we drove 14 hours 2 days ago, hopped on a plane. When I get back, we're going to drive some more hours. And so the work of God must go on. And we enjoy it. And we love it. And, man, I'm just glad to be here. Amen. Can we clap our hands one more time unto the Lord? Amen. You have it's a beautiful church and a beautiful edifice here. And, man, this is just, if I lived in this city, this is the place I'll go. Go to church. Amen. Noticed I spent a lot of time preaching in California. Amen. You know, it's pretty much my territory. And saw the Irvin brothers over there preaching. And I told them, man, they need to stay out of my honeypots. Praise God. Yeah. It's always a blessing to see them. And amen. Anointed men of God. And praise the Lord. Just stay out of the bay. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Luke chapter 24. Amen. Luke chapter 24 and verse 13. Amen. If you have a Bible that kind of subtitles this portion of scripture, it will say Christ appears on the road to Emmaus. And it says, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. They talked together of all these things which had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together and they reasoned, trying to figure everything out, all the damage, all the destruction, all the doubt, they communed together, reasoned, and while they were trying to figure it all out, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Amen. I want to preach to you today. Amen. I am not alone. Why don't you look at somebody and say, I'm not alone. Amen. I want to preach to you today, I'm not alone, that somebody is walking with you while you're trying to figure it all out, while you're trying to reason it all out, trying to get all the logic, trying to get the bugs out and the cobwebs. I want you to know that Jesus is walking right with you. Jesus, we love you today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your touch. God, I pray that you will minister and that you will be the high priest, oh God, in this place. And Lord, that you will break chains, God, that you will do your will. In the name of Jesus Christ, clap your hands unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy to be praised, worthy of glory. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word. Amen. Just recently, I got a phone call from my mother several days ago. Amen. That she was on the hospital. She was on her way to the hospital. And she had had surgery. She had went through a time of recovery. And she was on her way back to work at one of the factories in Sedalia, Missouri. And I got a phone call that she was at work. She was feeling faint. She was being a little lightheaded. And she almost collapsed at work. So they called the emergency teams. They came and got her. And she was on her way to the hospital. My sister called me, and she was worried. She was full of anxiety, and she was troubled in her spirit. But you know, I just felt peace in my spirit. And man, the family was kind of torn up. They were just full of doubt. What could it be? Full of questions. But the whole time, I just felt peace in my spirit. Praise God. And I've learned to listen to that voice that walks with us. Many people may be in an uproar. Many people may be full of anxiety and stress. Amen. But the Bible says that we have a peace that passes all understanding. As long as I've got that peace, I don't really have to figure everything out. I don't have to know every detail of my life and the condition of my situation. As long as I've got somebody named Jesus walking with me, I don't really have to really be afraid. I don't have to look at all of the formulas and look at all of the equations and try to figure out the answer, because, amen, Jesus is the answer. And I'm thankful, amen, that we serve a God that said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Anybody know what I'm talking about just a little bit? Amen. There's some people in the house. You know what I'm talking about. When you wasn't always on your best spiritual behavior. You didn't always have the sharpest mind. You didn't always have the best prayer life. But there was a God that was still walking with you. Amen. There was a Savior that was still walking side by side, shoulder by shoulder, head by. And he was giving you his mind, and he was guiding you through your storm. Clap your hands and thank God for a faithful, 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 faithful Savior. Amen. My mother, she used to put, when I was a child, we didn't go to church. Amen. You know, we went to church on Easter. Praise God. And we came late on Easter. Hallelujah. But we made it. Praise God. And, you know, every once in a while, she would put these little scriptures up just on the wall. I didn't understand them. I didn't know, and it had no clue of what they were. And man, I remember there was a time I was just kind of bored one Saturday. I was a child, probably about 6 or 7 years old, maybe 8 years old, and I looked behind this little pot of flowers there on the little side stand, and tucked back between there was this old wood block, and inserted was this glass plaque, and it was called Footprints in the Sand. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I didn't understand it. I remember the story because as a young child, the story really latched on to my heart. And it was about a man who had evidently had died and gone on with the Lord. And he was looking at the footprints of his life. And he saw that there were two sets of footprints walking. And it was to emulate or symbolize the steps and the phases of his life. And he noticed that there was always two sets of footprints. And then something troubled him as he noticed that during the dark times of his life and the troubled times and the dramatic times, the stressful times, he saw one set of footprints. And, amen, he thought to himself, how could God leave me when I was walking by myself? in the darkest times of my life. And he asked the Lord, I've noticed that in the most troubling times, in the most uproarious times, in the most darkest times of my life, God, there was only one set of footprints in the sand. And why would you leave me in such a time that I needed you most? And very beautifully and very poetically, amen, the Lord looked at him and said, my son, those times that you see one set of footprints in the sand was the times that I carried you because you could not walk by yourself. I want to tell you the story is still true this morning. God has carried you when you couldn't even walk by yourself. And I've come to remind you that you are not walking by yourself today. You are not working by yourself, but Jesus is walking right with you. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Clap your hands unto God. I'm not in this thing by myself. You may be seated. The truth of the matter is that the disciples were really at their lowest of low. They had forsook Jesus at the time he needed them most. Oh, God. Amen. They all lied to God and said, listen, we'll go all the way to the cross with you. But when it came down to it, they left him isolated and by his lonesome. Physicians say that because of the detachment of those that claim to be followers, it even gave the Lord emotional stress that night. Hematidrosis, as the stress and the capillaries begin to break through the sweat glands, it was all caused by the pressure of being left and being forsaken. Not only had they left him at the time he needed them most, but now they have doubted his entire state of affairs. And they're walking to nowhere. Jesus had never been to Emmaus. There had never been any miracles practiced in Emmaus. They were just wandering, just trying to figure this thing out. And they had just saw their master, rabbi, and teacher get murdered and slaughtered and be just disrespected as they spit upon him, as they beat upon his flesh, grown men, as they smote upon his body, as the Roman soldiers laughed and giggled, as they placed the crown of thorns upon his head, the cat of nine tails ripped the flesh off of his back, as history says that strips of flesh hung off of his back like ribbons. And the disciples were nowhere to be found, fleeing for safety. No, they wasn't where they should have been that day. Amen. And the truth of the matter is, you won't always be at your best state. You won't always have the faith to move mountains. You won't always have the faith to pray somebody out of a situation. You won't always feel like showing up to church. But while they were at their lowest low, there was still somebody walking with them. While they weren't even at their best condition, Jesus said, I am a faithful God. I am a committed God. I am not a fickle God. I am not an emotional God. I am not a wavering God. I said, I would never leave you nor forsake you. Anybody thankful that he's faithful this morning? Anybody thankful that he's loyal? The beautiful story is that while they were at their lowest low, trying to figure out everything, trying to disassemble it all, trying to work out all of the knots and the twists, amen, trying to figure this thing out, Jesus is walking with them the whole time. I want to tell you that you are not by yourself in this life. I want to tell you that Jesus is yoked up together with you. When you've got your mind over the bills and you're trying to figure out the red and the black and you're trying to sharpen your pencil, I want to tell you, Jesus is right there with you. When you're worried about your family and you're worried about your future and you're trying to figure it all out, I want to tell you, Jesus is walking right beside you when you're trying to walk this life. There's one called faithful. And hallelujah. John, in the book of Revelation, Jesus speaks to him and said, I am the faithful witness. You know what he's saying? He said, I've always been there from the beginning, and I see everything. Hallelujah. I want to help somebody reduce the stress load and the anxiety this morning, that you don't have to try to figure it all out. Amen. You don't have to try to figure out all of the things that involves your life and the problems and all of the trauma and all of the junk and all of the mess. Just keep walking, because there's somebody walking with you this morning. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Woo. Hallelujah. Children of Israel, coming out of Egypt, amen, hundreds of years in bondage and slavery and a life of inferiority, and Jesus comes along, amen, the Spirit of God speaks to a man named Moses and says, go and pull my people out of bondage and out of slavery. And so you know the story, the miracles and the judgment, because God will do anything he can to pull you out of your chains. God, hallelujah. So here they come, and all of a sudden, they're walking in the wilderness. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 20 says, not only are they walking in the wilderness, that dry place, that forsaken place, that place of isolation and wilderness where everything is chaotic and unmaintained and everything is untamed and wild. God says in verse 21, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of fire. Pillar of a cloud, excuse me, that he may lead them in the way. And by night he went by a pillar of fire so that he can give them light, so they can move day or night. When they were in the wilderness, in the chaos and the confusion and the disorder, God said, don't you worry about it. I've got a cloud that'll walk with you by day, and I've got a fire that'll walk with you by night. I want to tell you, if it's daytime for you, God's still walking with you. If it's nighttime for you, Jesus is still walking with you. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Amen. Hey, even when it's daytime, he's still walking. He said, I'm going to walk, and he said, I'm going to be the cloud by day. See, the cloud represents the hand of God. The cloud represents provision, because wherever you see a cloud, there's bound to be rain. And wherever there's rain, there's bound to be growth and sustenance and provision. God have mercy. He's saying, as long as you see that cloud, you better know, I've always got enough for your family. I've always got enough for your future. I've always got enough for your finances. I've always got enough. Woo. Cloud. Hey, man, it hadn't rained in 3.5 years. They were so bad, they were eating each other. It was so bad, they were killing each other. And there was a drought and a dearth in the land. And here comes the old preacher named Elijah. And he starts building altars again. Because anytime it gets dry in your life, you just find a place of prayer. Anytime things start getting chaotic, you just find the one that holds the clouds. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And he tells Ahab in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 44, amen. Verse 41, listen to what he says. He says, you go eat and drink because I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Well, that's a prophecy. I would love for a man of God to walk up to me and says, you go eat and drink because God's about to rain on your life. Come on, you go eat and drink and enjoy the blessings of God, because God is about to pour it out on your life. Amen. He looks at him and he says, go eat and drink. Watch it now. You go eat and drink because I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And Elijah goes and he falls on his face to the earth. And he puts his knees, he puts his head between his knees. This is revelation right here. I'm thankful for the man of God. I'm thankful for the man of God. I'm thankful for my pastor who can tell me, you go enjoy the blessings of God. And while I'm enjoying the blessings of God, I know he's got his head between his knees. And I know he's praying. And I know he's interceding. And I know he's fighting devils. And he's fighting spirits. I'm thankful for a pastor. Man, it's revelation. Praise God. He tells his servant, you go look towards the sea and tell me if you see anything. He goes once, comes back. I don't see nothing. He goes twice, comes back. I don't see anything. He goes three times, four, five, six. We would have gave up around the third time. But I've learned if the man of God tells me to do something and I don't see the fruit of it yet, I'm going to keep on doing what he tells me to do. Because I know he walks with God. Amen. I know he walks with God. And on the seventh trip, he comes back to Elijah and he said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Elijah said, that's all I need. That's the cloud that leads by day. And he told Ahab, you better get your chariot ready because God is about to rain on your life. I've come to encourage somebody this morning. There's a cloud that is hovering over your life, and God is about to rain blessings over you. God is about to pour strength, pour out revelation. God will open up the clouds and it'll kill all of that depression. It'll kill all of that self-loathing and it'll kill all of that self-pity that you have for yourself. And when you wake up tomorrow morning, amen, you will feel strong and you will feel emboldened. I'm talking about a God that walks with us in the daytime, that pours out the waters, living waters. Amen. He said, I'll be a fire by night. You know what fire represents, don't you? It can represent a lot of things, but I like to think of it as the word of God. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. Jeremiah was upset at God. He said, I won't even mention his name anymore. I won't even speak about him. But he said his word was shut up on the inside. Like a fire shut up in my bones. God said, Jeremiah 23 and verse 29, is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord. Psalms 119, 105, he said, the word is a lamp unto my feet and it's a light unto my path. I want to tell you, you are not walking through your darkness by yourself. You are not walking by your lonesome. I feel the Holy Ghost. There's somebody in here, you're going through the nightmare right now. Shut up, oh God. You're walking through the nightmare. Amen. The enemy has got a sledgehammer and he's trying to pound out your peace. He's trying to pound out all of your, just your easiness. Amen. But you remember what God said. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You don't have to take all of the stress load and all of the pressure and try to figure it out. You just stay in the yoke with Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands. Say, I'm not walking by myself. I've got a cloud by day and I've got a fire by night. Joshua, he had been through so much warfare. As a matter of fact, the first time we read about Joshua, he's fighting. He's fighting the Amalekites, fighting Amalek. Amen. He's fighting and he's warring. He sees 40 years of doubt and unbelief. He sees his comrades die in the wilderness. He sees friends and relatives die in the wilderness. He sees the judgment and the anger of God because of doubt and unbelief. He sees the man of God die before his eyes. And God raises Joshua up. Joshua's got to go and fulfill the mission of God. And one day, he's up praying, Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. When Joshua was by Jericho, amen, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua walked over to him and said, are you for us or are you for the adversary? I mean, that's a good proposition. I mean, if you woke up and a man had a sword in your bedroom, are you for me? He didn't know who this man was. He didn't know where he came from. He didn't recognize who this was. He didn't even know an inkling of who. He just wanted to know, are you for me or are you for the enemy? And the next verse said, no, I am the captain of the host of the Lord. My God. You know who that was, don't you? And I know there's a lot of doubt. There's a lot of commentary, but I'll tell you who this was. You know who the captain is, don't you? That's the ruler. That's the chief. Amen. That's the captain of all of the Lord's armies. Amen. I want to tell you, God had been in Joshua's life the whole time. When he fought against Amalek, the captain was there. When he saw all of his brethren die, the captain was there. When he saw Moses depart off the scene, you know who was there? God was there. And you know what he was telling Joshua that day? I've always been in the forefront. I've always been leading you. Amen. You just get in line and you just walk with me. I want to tell you, you might be going through some warfare this morning. You might be going through some stuff, but you've got a captain that is walking with you. Why don't you lift up your hands? Say, I'm going to walk with you, Jesus. Come on, why don't you walk with him? Say, I'm going to walk with you. Amen. Let me just preach a little bit. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Because I'm not just talking to saved folk this morning. There's many that can testify that when you were in a drunken stupor, when you were about to overdose, the only reason why you didn't was because there was a captain walking with you. Amen. The only reason why you made it home safe, because there was a captain in the passenger seat. You say, he don't drive with safe folk. I beg to differ, friend. We can all stand up and testify that there was somebody with us in the hospital room, in the passenger seat, in the handcuffs. Come on, I'm telling you, Jesus has always been there, walking with you, walking. Come on, walk with me. I'm trying to figure it out, but you're not by yourself. Come on, I'm trying to walk this thing, and Jesus is walking with you. Maybe seated. I blows my mind that he's just walking with them. They're at the worst chaotic point of their life. You know, he's not calling down miracles. He's not multiplying fishes and loaves. He's not shaking mountains. He's just walking. Just walking with them. I want to tell you, Jesus is walking with you. Amen. He's helping you. When you get up in the morning and you go to work, he's going to work with you. When you go to school, he's going to school with you. Amen. I'm trying to help somebody enjoy this life. Amen. You don't have to walk just stressed out and furious and angry and agitated, trying to get all of these goals accomplished. Just keep walking because Jesus is walking with you. Hallelujah. My. 1 Samuel 12:22, this is one of my favorite scriptures. He said, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. You know what that means? If you got his name, that means he is forever bound together with you. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. Watch this. Amen. For it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. See, you didn't just slip, fall, and land in the church. Some of you are like, oh, hey, I'm here. Oh, praise God. Oh. Here's your baptism certificate. Here's your Holy Ghost certificate. Amen. We'll see you at choir practice on Tuesday. No. It has pleased the Lord to make you his. It pleased the Lord to make you his. I'm trying to help somebody. It God is not irritated by you. God is not agitated by you. Amen. You don't have to approach God as some peasant, pauper, beggar. No, it pleased God to make you his people. It pleased God to put you in the church. It was the will of God. He was walking with you the whole time. Oh, hallelujah. Come on and give him praise. I'm almost done. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, what a God, what a God, what a God. Amen. Deuteronomy 31, 6. Watch what he tells his people. He says, be strong and of good courage. You know what he's saying? Get your walk right. Get your attitude right. Put a smile on your face. Be strong and of good courage. Amen. He said, fear not, nor be afraid of them. Who's them? Whatever it is. Don't you be afraid of nothing. You fear not, nor be afraid of them. Why? For the Lord thy God, he it is that's going with you. He will not leave you and nor forsake you. He said, you don't be afraid of anything. You don't have to be afraid of depression. You don't have to be afraid of promotion. You don't have to be afraid of enlarging your territory. You know why some people can't go forward? They're just afraid of God enlarging their territory. They're afraid of their responsibilities. But God says, you keep on going. I'm talking to somebody. This is my will. This is my will to enlarge you, to elevate you, to promote you. You step up in the door. Paul said, I've got a door of great effectual. I've got a great effectual door that has been opened unto me, and I'm going to stay right here. Fear not, nor be afraid of thee. My God. You know, one of my favorite scriptures, Proverbs 27:10. He says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Do you understand how committed God is to you? That the moment you came out of the womb, he was there the whole time. He's been walking with you the whole time through first grade, through second grade. He's been walking. Man, we don't hear him all the time. He's not performing the miraculous all the time. He's just walking and he's just listening. And we're just trying to figure this thing out called life. But he's just walking with us. I'm thankful for a God that's loyal. You know, the amazing thing about this, David is writing about the time he was being pursued by King Saul. By hundreds of soldiers, death just a step away. It was so bad that he had to take his mother and his father to Moab. And that was the last time he saw them. He said, when my mother and my father forsake me, in the original language, he said, when they have to let go of me, he said, the Lord will step in and grab a hold. He was talking about the time, watch this now, he had to take them to Moab and they had to let go of him. You know who's writing this? It was Samuel, 1 Samuel 22 and verse 3. Samuel's writing this. It's amazing because Samuel had to go through the same thing. His mom, as a baby boy, took him to the house of God. She had to let go of him. But you know who grabbed to him? God got a hold of him. He takes him back to Moab, Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 1. It was the place that Moses looked, right there from Moab. Which is ironic because Moab and Moses' mother had to let him go. And Moab was the place that Ruth looked at her mother and her father in her familiar land. And they had to say goodbye, Ruth. But you know, the moment they let go, God said, come on, Ruth. I've got a place of enlargement for you. I've got a future for you. I've got a husband for you. Come on, I've got a family for you. I'm talking about a God who's always been there. And David said, I can attest to the fact that when my mother and my father have to let me go, amen, that God is not going to forsake me. Amen, I'm not in this thing by myself. Amen, when I can't figure it out. Amen, even when the pastor doesn't seem like he's available, I have learned there have been times that I needed to talk to my pastor, but the door was locked. You know what God was doing? He's saying the door's locked, but the prayer room's open. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody thankful God's been walking with you the whole time? Musicians, why don't you come? Why don't we stand to our feet? Amen. If you, anybody thankful that Jesus has been there the whole time? Amen. I want you to look at the footprints in the sand, and I want you to understand that Jesus, I never forget a friend of mine. Amen. He's definitely a man of God. He told me about some of the roughest times in his life. One day he was in prayer and he was asking God, amen, why did these things happen in my life? And he was questioning God because he had always been faithful. He had always been in church. He had never left church. He said, as a young man, his father wasn't there. His mother was busy doing ministerial things, and friend of the family had came and serpent really and kind of weaved its way into the family, and he ended up being taken advantage of physically as a child. And years later he just always preached and the power of God would fall, but every once in a while that devil would come back with that report in that history, and he would begin to torment my friend. God, why did this happen? You're supposed to be there. Where were you? It went on for months, and he went on many days and fasting and praying and trying to figure out why God would allow this horrific event to transpire in his life. He said one day he got into weeping and sobbing and praying and crying. 1 hour went by, several hours went by. He began to beat up on his chest. He began to cry out, God, why did this happen? Where were you? Where were you? And like a story before his eyes, he said the scene changed. He was no longer in that basement bedroom anymore, but he was back at the place where the event took place. And he was seeing the whole story being played over again in his presence. And he stood there and Jesus was standing right next to him. He saw himself as a young boy. He saw the perpetrator. It was being all relived again. And he said the Lord looked at him and he walked over to that little boy while the nightmare was taking place. And he said the Lord covered his head. And the Lord spoke to him and said, I kept your sanity. I kept your sanity. I know that may not be your story this morning, but I'm telling you, some of us have walked pathways, valleys low and mountaintops, winding roads in the backwoods, and God has seen our best times. He's seen our worst times. He's seen our sins. He sees everything. He sees it all, friend. And you know the beautiful thing about it, Brother Collins? He still walks with us. He just walks with us. Hallelujah. How many times have we just barely missed death How many times, how many of us should be burning today in a place of hell? But you know who walked with you to church this morning? Jesus is walking with you. You know the beauty of repentance? I'll tell you the beauty of repentance. Not that God forgives, but that God knows and still forgives. Any forgiven folk in the house? Man, walking to the road of Emmaus. Not a destination. Don't even know where I'm going. Don't know what's going on. Can't figure it all out. I should be a few miles down the road. That's all right. Jesus is walking with us. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep on walking. I'm going to keep on walking. I'm going to keep on talking. And that walker with us named Jesus is going to walk with us. I wonder if you can walk your way down to this altar. You know what he's got? He's got that cloud that's going to hover over you. Come on. You need the Holy Ghost. Come on, you need to be baptized and let your sins washed away. Come on, you need to be forgiven. Why don't you walk down and just come pray for just a little bit? Because Jesus is walking with you. Lord, I'm letting go of my burdens. I'm letting go. I'm letting go of my sins. Throw your hands up. Throw your hands up. Jesus is walking with me. Come on, Jesus is walking with us. You're not by yourself. Lord, I'm letting go of all the burdens. I'm letting go of the stress. I'm letting go of the trials.